Lord, thank you for your word. We honor your word this morning, Lord. We love your word and we give honor to your word. You uphold all things by the power of your word. We give honor to what you want to speak to us this morning. We're so grateful that we serve a God who wants to talk to us and talk to us about things and help us and transform us, change how we think about things, realign our hearts with Him. We're so thankful we serve that kind of God. It's you, Lord. It's the kind of God you are. And we're grateful for that. So this morning, as the word goes forth, may it transform how we think. May it change and mark our lives in Jesus' name. And we forever give you the praise, you the glory, you the honor for it. Amen. If you will turn with me to Ephesians 6. Verse 1 through 3 says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." Actually, I have a footnote here that I added from somewhere I had been studying, and it says, "Children, obey your parents because you belong to the Lord, for this is right." Then it goes on and says, "Honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth." I want to talk to you this morning about honor. And just the Lord's had this on my heart for several weeks. I've actually talked to Sim some about it and maybe some of you other ones as well. I don't know why, but I thought it would be more so in a staff meeting or something, and I don't know why I do like that, but I'll be thinking about something, it'll be stirring in my heart, and the Lord starts bringing things to my attention about it, and I'm thinking, oh yeah, that's good. And then He's like, why are you waiting? Why are you not giving it to everybody, you know? So here we are. Honor is a valuing. It has to do with the way you value God and other people. I mean, if you look up the word honor, it says a valuing. It's the weight of importance that you carry in your heart and manifest in your actions. Now, we have a tendency to feel like there are certain people who are deserving of honor. And there surely are. There surely are people who deserve honor. But then we also think there are others that we really don't have honor for. Like maybe they don't deserve honor. But that's not the way the Lord looks at it, and that's not what His Word says at all. His Word tells us to honor God. It says, "Husbands, honor your wives." It says, "Wives, honor your husbands." It says, "Children, honor your parents." It says, "Honor widows." It says that the elders who rule well should have double honor. Romans 12:10 says, "Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor, giving preference to one another, because you value them over yourself." There's that word honor, value, because you value them over your own self. The Passion Translation says, "Try to outdo yourselves in respect and honor." In 1 Peter 2:17, if you want to turn there, it says, "Honor all people. Love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king." That first part says, "Honor all people." And the Passion Translation says about that, "Recognize the value of every person." Recognize the value of every person. Now, since Jesus gave His life on the cross for the whole world, He set the value for every person. by the price he was willing to pay, his own life. You know, it's only as, something is only as valuable as what you're willing to pay for it, right? They can put $500 on it, but if you're not willing to pay $500, it ain't worth it, right? It's only worth what someone's willing to pay. We were worth the very life, the very blood of Jesus Christ to God the Father. Every person was worth that. Even the most evil people that you could think of, he gave his life for them too. And you have to think about it from this perspective, church. You have to remember that. He paid the price and determined our value. So we don't have right to dishonor people, do we? Think about that. We don't have a right to dishonor people. We don't have a right to dishonor what he gave his life for, what he actually paid for. We don't have that right. When we understand what honor really is, and I'm not talking about honoring sin or wrongdoing, but when we really understand that honor is valuing a person's life because Jesus determined their value with his own life. When we value who you are to God and that you were created with purpose, he paid for you. He paid for the whole world with his own blood. When we start really realizing that, then it begins to change our heart. And it begins to realign our heart and the values of our heart to align more with what's valuable to him. Amen? We value things that I wonder if he really values them so much. Yet we show dishonor or not value things that he actually gave his life and showed value for. Are y'all with me? When my heart begins to realign with his heart and with his values, then I begin to carry honor in my heart. And I become someone who carries honor, and people who are honorable honor other people. Amen? It's the core value of the kingdom of heaven. It's a core value of the kingdom of God. Therefore, it needs to be a core value of ours. And we need to be able to understand that love and honor actually go together. It says in 1 John 4:9, in this was the love of God manifested, that he gave his only son for the world. In this was the love of God manifested. In other words, in demonstrating and manifesting his love, he set our value. He showed our value. It revealed our worth, our value. Another place in scriptures in John 15:13, Jesus said, greater love, has no one than this, than to lay down his life for his friends. So the display of love, he's honoring, when he's displaying it by laying his life down, he's honoring your life over his own, right? So you see the connection of love and honor and how they go together. One of the ways, we talk about this a lot, one of the ways we demonstrate our love for God is in how we love one another. But there's also a matter of how we demonstrate our honor for God is shown in how we honor one another. Do you catch that? It shows how we love, how we honor him by how we honor one another. It brings honor to God when you honor what he honors. Amen? Now, honor, the word honor in Hebrew is kabod. Does that sound familiar to anybody? See, I love word studies. I love looking up stuff. And I'm looking up stuff all the time. And a word will come out and I'm like, I know that word. Where do I know that word? What is kabod? Does anybody know what kabod is? It's the same Hebrew word for glory. The same Hebrew word as glory. So God's glory is the weighty presence of who he is. It is the quality of his importance, his greatness, and the majesty and wealth and weight of who he is and all that he is. That's the glory of God. So now think about that with honor. It's the value, the weightiness, the quality of importance and wealth and weight of other people. Wow. Wow. Now, because we are a small group, mostly family, and if you're not blood, you're still family. And we're all friends one with another, and we know each other's stuff, don't we? We know each other's past, present. I mean, we know all about each other. We are familiar with each other's likes and dislikes, attitudes, temperament, what makes you happy, what breaks you, right? We know things about each other. So in the midst of our familiarity, of our closeness and our knowing about one another, it's imperative that we learn to still honor one another. Even though I know things about you and you, y'all all know about me because I share everything about me. You all know me. And so, we've got to be able to know this stuff and still honor one another. Again, we're not honoring sin. We're not honoring things like that, but we're honoring the person. Just like you don't love someone's sin, but you love the person. We don't honor sin, but we honor one another. I know a pastor who quit hanging out with, he and his wife hung out with another couple a lot. They would cook out on the grill together. They would go out to eat together. They would do Christmas and Thanksgiving and occasions together. Maybe not on the actual day, but they would celebrate, have times to celebrate that together. And this pastor, the other guy, happened to be his worship leader. And this pastor was telling me that he had decided that it was not a healthy thing for them to be friends like that anymore, because it would affect their familiarity and their honor of one another. So he felt like it was best to be able to still honor one another and minister together, that they should. And he said it to me like it was some mature thing he had done. And inside I'm thinking, what? I pastor this church and the worship leader happens to be my daughter. Am I supposed to cut off my relationship with her? The other two are my granddaughters. Can't we learn how to know and enjoy and have relationship with one another and still honor one another? There might be times it takes the Holy Ghost to help you do it. Come on. Come on. But we should be able to do that. We can't allow familiarity to hurt or affect our value of one another just because we're small. Now, there's a familiar phrase that we've said on and off for years, and it goes like this. Familiarity breeds contempt. And I want to talk about that for a few minutes this morning. It actually is taken from Matthew 13, if you want to turn there. It's taken from this passage of Scripture in verse 54, chapter 13 of Matthew. When he came to his own country, talking about Jesus, he taught them in their synagogue, and they were astonished and said, "Where did this man get this wisdom and these mighty works? Isn't this the carpenter's son? Isn't this Mary's boy? Isn't that his mama? And his brother James," this next word, Joseph, it actually says Joseph, "Simon and Judas and his sisters, aren't they all here? Where'd this man get all these things?" I mean, we know him. We were raised up, we went to school together. You know, I mean, we could say things like that. And they were offended at him. And Jesus said to them, "A prophet is not without honor except in his own country and in his own house." In other words, if I go somewhere else, they would bring honor. A prophet going all around would receive honor from people. But in his own hometown, he won't receive honor. Why? because you're familiar. And you stumble over that. It says, there he could do no mighty works because of their unbelief. They were offended with him. And you need to pay attention to that. They were offended because of the familiarity. They couldn't honor who he was because they stumbled over the fact that they knew him. They knew he was Mary and Joseph's boy. So they couldn't honor who he was because they were stumbling over who they knew him to be. Are y'all with me? Familiarity will cause you to become offended because I know you. You know, God, I don't know who he thinks he is. God's using him like that. And I know who he is. I know his mama. I remember when he was a kid. I remember him in daycare. You know what I'm saying? We could go on and on and on. It can cause us to become offended, or it becomes a stumbling block to us because of familiarity. But familiarity caused a lack of dishonor of Jesus, and there he could do no mighty works. Didn't say in King James it says, there he could do no mighty works. It wasn't that he wouldn't do any mighty works. There he could do no mighty works except heal a few sick folks. That's the way it says it in King James. And the reason why was because of their offense. Their unbelief caused them to be, offense caused them to have unbelief in their heart. He would have loved to have done more, but he couldn't because that blocked them from receiving from him. Familiarity breeds contempt. That word contempt means to make no account of, to regard with no value, to regard lightly, to dishonor, a devaluing. It's not a valuing like honor. It's actually a devaluing. And it reminded me of what God had to say to Israel in the book of Malachi. You don't have to turn there. But in the beginning of Malachi, he's talking about how they had despised him. They despised his name. And they're like, how have we despised you? How have we done that? He used the word despise, which actually meant a lack of honor, disrespect, contempt was the word. And it says, oh, you offer polluted, you just offer whatever you've got, your sloppy leftover stuff on the altar instead of bringing your best to me. You don't look at the table of the Lord as something that's to be honored. You look at it, you lightly esteem it. You don't look at it as something valuable. You don't look at the things of God as something valuable at all. He goes on, he says, you say it's a weariness, like it's a problem, like, oh, we got to do this again. Are y'all hearing me? Are you kidding me? I got to get up and go to church again. It's already Sunday. Now, let's stop and think about it, because he's saying you've become so familiar with everything that it's not a treasure to you anymore. It's not, you don't treat it honorably anymore. Instead, you're looking at it as something familiar with no value. So it's not that big a deal to bring tithe and offering to the Lord. Just drop it in the bucket and let's move on with the next part of the service, right? It's not that big of a deal to take communion anymore. Not that big a deal to sing praise and glorify God. It's wearisome. I don't even like that song. Good Lord, how much longer are we going to keep singing? Are y'all hearing me? It gets wearisome and tired of hearing the word. I am so tired of hearing her. I've had people say that. I am so tired of hearing her. Like, if I have to hear her again, I'm going to scream. He probably feels that way sometimes. Yeah, people have said that. Believe it or not, I can't imagine. But you know what it means? It means we've become so familiar. That it's not something of great value to us anymore. This ought to be one of the most valuable things in our life, to be able to come in here and corporately, you can worship God at home. You don't have to do it in here. But there's something more powerful about being able to do it on a corporate level. You can read your Bible at home and should. But there's something powerful about coming together as a corporate body and hearing what the Lord wants to say to us together. And worship Him together. And take bread and communion together. Amen. There's something powerful about it. But when we become familiar, we lose the power of it, don't we? And the worst part of it all is that it's not really an outward issue. It's an issue of the heart. That's the worst part. Honor comes from our heart. You can put it on. People do it. All of Hollywood does it. I mean, you can put on honor and make a big deal out of somebody and make them look like all that and pretend like you think they are and you're talking about them behind their back. You know what I'm saying? People do that all the time. But true honor comes forth from out of your heart. Remember, it's birthed out of love. I mean, it comes forth. It's connected with love. Now, because familiarity can breed contempt, then I have a hard time honoring you. I struggle to honor you as a leader or as a somebody because I know your stuff. Are y'all hearing me? Again, I'm not talking about sin. But when we look at other people, there's something we need to take into account that we also forget to do. We're easy to remember your screw-ups and so forth, but we forget to remember something else. And that is, we forget to look at how far maybe somebody has come. We don't always take into account the personal stuff that people are dealing with. Oh, we think we know it. Because we know it all, right? But we don't. We don't. We don't know all the inward struggles people have. We don't know how far they've already come in a situation between them and the Lord. It doesn't look like they've gained any ground to you, maybe. But the Lord's like, oh, I know. You don't even know this part right here. I know a whole lot more than you do. Are y'all hearing me? You don't know the fight that the enemy offers them all the time to bring destruction to their life. You don't know the battle that goes on in their mind throughout the day and in their life. Maybe they came out of a whole different background than you. Maybe they were raised differently than you. Maybe they have a different calling than you. Therefore, there's different opposition that they have to face than you. Again, I'm still not excusing sin. But we need to take into account people and the stuff they deal with in life. And just because you know me, you don't know everything that goes on in my heart or in my mind, and it's a good thing. It can be a not good place. It can be a scary place. It can be a place where I'm like, oh no, we're not going there, girl. Oh no, we are not. You know what I'm saying? Jesus had 12 disciples, kind of a ragtag sort of group. I mean, they were fishermen. I mean, you stop and you think about it. One was a big mouth, and he always was putting his foot in his mouth. He was always had something to say all the time about everything. He was a hothead. He was quick-tempered. He reacted in his flesh a lot. All of them did. They all did. They were all carnal, fleshy. Remember a couple of them arguing over who was the best and who was going to get to sit beside him on each side when his kingdom came and he was ruling? No, I am. No, I am. No, I am. Had their mama go ask him about it. Wow. How about the two who wanted to call fire down from heaven because they had not received Jesus? You want us to call fire down from heaven and consume the whole city? Are you kidding? Yeah, I came to save lives. And Jesus is like, you don't know what spirit you're of. I mean, stop and think about it. When Peter in Luke 16 Jesus had asked the question, who do men say that I am? And then he said, who do you say that I am? And Peter jumps out, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, you got that by revelation. Flesh and blood didn't tell you that. You got that by revelation. And just a minute later, Jesus is talking to them about going to the cross. And Peter's going, no, you ain't going to die. No, you're not. That's wrong. No, you're wrong. How are you going to call the Son of God? You just got revelation that he is the Son of God, the Messiah, and now you're going to tell him he's wrong? Who has the guts to tell Jesus to his face that he's wrong? Peter? He did. He did. He had the guts. Jesus said, get thee behind me, Satan. You're an offense to me. You're trying to lay a trap for me. He told Peter, he said, you're not mindful of the things of God, but of men. The Passion Translation says, your thoughts are filled with man's viewpoints, man's perspective, not the ways of God, not the perspective of God. You're thinking about stuff, you're being carnal again. That's what it is, being carnal again. And these guys, they were with each other day in, day out. Don't you think they became familiar with one another? Can you imagine? Yet when they were born again and filled with the Holy Ghost, it was said of them that they were the ones who turned the world upside down. Wow. And guess what? They still weren't perfect men even after that. Paul rebuked Peter. He's still in trouble. He was still getting in trouble. But they loved God. They loved Jesus. They loved the Holy Spirit. They depended on Him to help them and to help them grow and to learn and to fulfill God's purpose in their life. Paul's made a statement that I want us to learn. And that was, he said, I am determined to know no man after the flesh. See, We say this all the time, but the real you is a spirit man. That's the real you that will last and live forever and ever and ever. You have a soul which is made up of your mind, your will, and your emotions. And you live in a flesh body. Yet we know each other by the flesh, not by the real who you are. You know, the real you is your spirit man. That's the real you. We need to learn to walk after our spirit man instead of after our flesh all the time. And not only that, we need to learn to recognize one another the same way. When we live in the flesh all the time, though, we're not going to look at each other except by the flesh, are we? We want to learn. We want to learn different. So that instead of criticizing and dishonoring what you're doing wrong in the flesh, I'm not talking about sin, what you're doing wrong in the flesh, I can look at the real you and I can recognize, okay, there's some weaknesses here, there's some deficiencies over here, and I could pray for him in that. I should be praying for her in that area. I see an area where she's lacking. I could pray for her. She's not just a jerk. Okay? She may be acting like one, but there's something going on inside that I can see and I can pray for her. See, when I know you by the Spirit, then I can listen to the Holy Spirit. I can listen as to how to pray for you. And I could actually, based on what he's saying and how he's leading me, I could actually respond to you like that. And I could love and honor you instead of being critical and devaluing who you are. Are y'all with me? None of us have always gotten it right, have we? Nor do we still get it all right. We've all been through stuff and we've all screwed up before, every one of us. But hopefully we're not where we were before. Amen? Hopefully we're growing. Hopefully we've learned some stuff along the way. Hopefully we weren't where we were a year ago. I mean, hopefully we aren't where we were a year ago. You know, our place is not to celebrate perfection, but to actually celebrate progress. Are y'all with me? The Lord looks at us that way. Like, yay! You made a D minus, minus, minus. But last time you failed miserably. You're doing better. Yay! You made a D. It wasn't a D minus, 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 minus. Are y'all with me? He looks at our progress and knows who we are. He remembers our frame, the Word of God tells us. He remembers that we are dust. And He celebrates our growth. And He encourages it very much. He doesn't expect us to stay the same. We should be ever growing, ever changing, looking more and more and more like Him. There's a statement that Bill Johnson made. You know, people make a statement and it just sticks with you. And he is notorious for that. He's got some good little statements that he makes. And this one was this. I jotted it down. Honor is where you recognize who a person is without stumbling over who they are not. Honor is where you can recognize who a person is without stumbling over who they are not. Remember, the word stumble is to be offended. Now, I realize there's the word, the scandalon, but forget that just a minute. Offense also means to stumble over. Remember when they were offended with him because of who his parents were and who he was and they knew him and they were offended with him and it caused unbelief. So we need to be able to recognize who we are, who a person is, without stumbling over or being offended over who they're not. I want us to think about these people. I'm going to call out some, not people, people. I'm going to call out some groups of people. And I want you to think about how well you show honor or feel honor toward them, okay? Just, it's your own test. How do you honor yourself? How do you honor your spouse? How do you honor your children? How do you honor other kids? How do you honor your parents? How do you honor church leaders? How do you honor other leaders? How do you honor government officials, local and national? And let me give you a little something here. Praying for them is a way of honoring them. But be careful not to turn around and rag them and undo your praying. Negate your prayers, right? I've done that. I've done that too many times. I'll pray for them and then turn right around and I'm going to tell you what, blah, 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 and negate everything I was praying for. Are y'all with me? How do you honor different races and different ethnic groups of people? How do you honor the poor? How do you honor the rich? How do you honor those who disagree with you? Uh-oh, now she's getting all up in your business. How do you honor your peers? How do you honor this generation, kids, teens, young adults? How do we honor them? Do we pretend like we honor them, but we rag them and talk about them? How do we honor those who work behind the scenes that you can't see? Like the janitor. The garbage man. How do you honor the waitress? Or the clerk at Walmart or Target? This man right here is the best at that. Because we can have somebody that's so rude at the store or somewhere. And he says, well, you just don't know what kind of morning she may have had. And I'm like, you don't know what she just dealt with. You don't know what she's dealing with at home. You're right. You are right. How do we honor those who are offensive? Those who carry attitudes, those who are obnoxious. It's making it harder and harder. Isn't it? I just need to quit now, right? Anytime now. Remember, true honor comes from our heart. When we honor others, we honor other people because we're honorable people. Because we understand what honor is about. Our heart is aligned with the Lord's and we value people because He values them. Are you with me? What is the root behind dishonor? Are y'all okay? Lack of respect, lack of value, a lack of understanding and seeing the purpose, the wealth, the value, the potential in somebody. But do you know what it's all rooted in, the tap root of the whole nine yards? Pride. Pride. That's the deepest, that's the greatest tap root. Oh, there are all these little roots, but the tap root is pride. The greatest display of honor that was ever seen when Jesus humbled Himself and gave Himself on a cross. Let me read it to you from Philippians 2. I think we just read this a few weeks ago. Philippians 2, 5 through 8. Oh, that's not it. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God didn't consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made of himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, because of that, God has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name. You see, pride is the greatest root behind dishonor. But the big, real, true act behind honor is humility. When the world can see how we love one another, how we treat one another, how we honor one another, our respect for one another, I believe it will grab the attention of the world. I do. I believe when the world can see us do that, especially we're all, you know, people ask me all the time, how can you and your whole big old family stand to be together a whole week at the beach? Do you get that question, Cook? How can y'all stand that? Because we get out on the beach. A lot of space out there to run and play and be wild. But how can we together as a group of people, how can we, what an amazing way to show the world what real love and respect and honor looks like when we do that one to another. I believe it represents who He is. I do. There's another statement Bill Johnson says that we, I think it's in the book When Heaven Invades Earth that we do in our Bible college class. And it says that we owe the world an encounter with Him. We owe the world an encounter with the Lord. And I was thinking about that statement this week and I was thinking about it like this. We owe the world an opportunity to see what honor looks like. We not only owe them the opportunity to see what honor looks like, but what it feels like to be honored. There are a lot of people out there that don't feel honored by anybody. They feel like they are the scum of the earth. That they're not worthy of any kind of honor from anybody. And it's like other people look at you and go like, why did you just honor them? Because Jesus did. Because He did. Not criticizing them, not tearing them down, but just being kind and demonstrating what value looks like. Just demonstrating what value looks like. With one another, in our families, but also with other people. Amen. Now, I want to make this statement and we'll close. I wrote this down. I saw this somewhere and wrote it down. It says, at the core of honor is proper judgment. The just appraisal. The just appraisal. What's the word just? It's right. Remember, we are justified. That means we've been made right with God. The word just means right. And appraisal is the estimation of value. So stop and think about it. At the core of honor is proper judgment. The righteous or right estimation of value. The weight of importance of another person. Think about that again. At the core of honor is, I'm going to cut out some of the extra words, is the right estimation of honor and weight of importance of another person. That's powerful. That's powerful. And, you know, we as a church need to be able to recognize and honor one another. Honor out here in our jobs, in our workplace, in Walmart, in other areas. We need to be able to show what honor looks like to other people. I didn't say you had to get slimy and gooey and all that kind of stuff. I'm just saying, show them that they're valuable. Treat them like they got some value. Right? And I believe it will make such an impact on people's lives. I believe it will make such an impact on people's lives. But I also believe that as we are honoring other people, it honors the Lord. It honors Him. There are people going to be coming into this, that are going to be coming into this church who don't know the Lord, who've come out of drug addiction, who've come out of alcohol issues, who've come out of abuse, who've come out of all kinds of things, painful, horrific things, who need to feel like somebody values them. And it's our place to demonstrate that value, that God loves you. He values who you are. And I'm going to show you what it looks like. I'll get down and wash your feet. I'll get down here and I'll pray for you. You see what I mean? It is going to be our responsibility. What do you think, the harvest is going to look wonderful? Do you think the harvest is going to be all nice, neat business men packages, all everything's hunky-dory? No, people are going to come into the kingdom carrying baggage. I did. I brought a whole pile of baggage with me. Did y'all? I did. But He valued me enough to die for me and make me whole and make me right, and He hasn't given up on me. He still values me and still deals with me and still corrects me and realigns my heart. Amen. So let's just stand, if you would. Lord, we thank You for Your word. We thank You that You loved us so much that You gave Your only Son to die for us. He shed His blood for us to live. He shed His blood for us to be cleansed and purified and made right with the Father, with You. He did all of that, showing us the great value that You, our Father, that He, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, that You had for us, that You valued us so much, You loved us and valued us so much, You sent Your Son. The Amplified says, for God so loved and dearly prized the world that He gave His only begotten Son. We thank You for that, Lord. We thank You for loving us and showing us how valuable we are to You, even though we don't always feel valuable to ourselves. And we ask You, Lord, right now to forgive us for dishonoring and treating lightly the things of God, the things that are important to you, any area that we've treated lightly, any area that we have not brought honor to, the things that are important to you, we ask you to forgive us and cleanse us of that. We ask you to forgive us for dishonoring other people. We ask you to forgive us for dishonoring this generation, dishonoring teenagers, dishonoring our kids, how we treat children because they're young, like we're all big and bad and we can just talk any kind of way to them. God, I ask you to forgive us for that, for any place where we have been dishonorable to kids. Any place where we have allowed familiarity to cause us to lose value for one another or to not see each other like you see us. We ask you to forgive us for that, Lord. Forgive us from that and wash us and cleanse us. We want to show proper honor to you. We want to show proper honor to one another. We want to show right honor to leadership. We want to be honorable people. We want to be people who honor others. And so, Lord, do that work in our hearts. I believe your word has gone in and planted seed and done some digging around and maybe even exposed some areas in us. Thank you for that, Holy Spirit. Now we ask you to solidify this word in our heart today, that we leave here different, that we leave here carrying values like you have. In Jesus' name, amen. Does anybody need prayer?